Well, how vulnerable is America's electric grid? It seems like this is a story we've been talking about for decades. Remember the New York City blackout? Remember that? Yeah, all the members of Congress were going to get on the same page, make sure that never happens again. Yeah, nothing happened. So are we teetering on the brink of disaster? Once again, this week, the Department of Energy issued an emergency order for the Southwest Power Pool across 17 states to deploy extra power and prevent blackouts amid extreme heating on our fragile infrastructure. It doesn't matter if it's extreme heat or deep freezes like we saw across Texas just a few years ago. Remember, that's when Senator Ted Cruz flew to Mexico, I think it was. Anyway, joining me now to unpack all of this in America's fragile electric grid is Mike Adams from naturalnews.com. And he the other day tweeted something really fascinating, put a big infographic just showing how fragile America's electric grid is. And that's why I wanted to invite you on. Mike, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, thank you, Clayton. It's always an honor to join you. Appreciate the invite.
My pleasure. The pleasure is all mine. So this is obviously the news catalyst, hearing from the Department of Energy, just sort of reminding Americans like, hey, you know, we're fine to send billions of dollars to Ukraine or to build drones for war, or we're fine to send billions of dollars to Israel, USAID programs around the world, funding drag queen shows in Lithuania, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But America's energy infrastructure is still shit. And when I saw that, I just couldn't believe it. Once again, just a reminder of our fragile infrastructure. Just at the high level, what did you think of that?
Well, this is a problem that has been engineered in our country for many decades, spanning multiple presidents. And personally, I really blame the climate alarmism cultism, the climate cult, which, and you know, I'm a published food scientist, and so I can say as a scientist, I would say that anybody who doesn't understand that carbon dioxide is good for plants is not very informed. You know, carbon dioxide is good for Earth. It greens the planet. It grows more forests. If we had higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere, because it's very small, it's barely above 400 parts per million, which is a tiny fraction. If we had higher levels of CO2, we would actually have higher crop yields. We'd be able to feed more people. And studies have also shown that higher levels of CO2 in some plants produce more nutrition in the same crops. So the climate agenda was not only about shutting down our energy infrastructure, canceling pipelines, canceling the construction of, power plants of all kinds, but it was also about causing global crop failures and reducing the nutrition of foods grown all over the world and sort of trapping marginalized third world nations in a cycle of endless poverty from which they could never escape because there's not enough CO2 for farming to achieve abundance in those countries. So you see, we're here to talk about power, but it's a much bigger picture. The war against CO2 has all these effects of keeping us with failing power grids, multiple grids in the U.S., but also contributing to global famine that you know is going to get worse because of what's happening with the war right now.
No, that's such a great point. When you think about it, and you bring up the great, when you said engineered, like they've done this on purpose, haven't they?
Yes, absolutely. Now, think about Al Gore, right? So he was sort of the champion of the climate change agenda. Or that narrative. And look, I admit, in the early 2000s, when I didn't know any of this stuff, it was pretty convincing. It was like, oh, humans are destroying the planet and we have to stop using energy. All combustion engines are bad, we were told, and all air conditioning is bad, and being human is bad, and we can't use energy.
Well, I was right there with you. So hand of the heavens, I'm not going to sit over here like I knew any better. I was right there with you. I believed inconvenient truth, Al Gore standing there on stage showing us the sea levels rising and that he was warning that in 20 years this was going to happen. Miami, parts of New Jersey were going to be underwater as a result of it. Coastal cities would be wiped away because of our overuse of fossil fuels. And then it turns, and then I started studying and I started researching. And then once you start doing that, you realize, wait a second, the reason we have food, the reason we have medicines, the reason we have hospitals that run and are able to provide incubators for babies is because of fossil fuels. And yes. No, your vegetarian, you know, vegan farms, whatever, destroy more animals than do sustainable grass-fed, all of that. Anyway, all that to say, I was right there with you.
Well, it was a very convincing narrative, and it was a human guilt narrative to place guilt upon your shoulders for being human. But you notice that the Paris Climate Accords and all of those efforts that the U.S. signed on to with the EU and other countries, you know which country never signed on to that nonsense? China. Mm-hmm. China. Because they knew that it was just political BS. So China spent all that time building power infrastructure and power diversity in their infrastructure. So, you know, regardless of whatever your audience thinks about China or the politics or the leadership, they certainly were very smart about, they built coal-fired power plants, gas plants, but also massive solar installations. China has more solar than I think any other country in the world. Massive wind and massive hydropower. The Three Gorges Dam being, you know, the most recent example, and they're working on another dam that's even larger than that. So China has built a power infrastructure that now gives China this leadership position in AI training and inference, because AI is power hungry, massively power hungry. What's the cost of a kilowatt hour of energy in China? It's about 8 cents, or maybe it's 8.5 cents for consumers. What is it in Connecticut? What is it in Virginia? I don't know, 30 cents or 25 cents or something, you know. We pay multiples.
Ours just went ours in Colorado just went up 30%.
Wow. Yeah. And see, that's what's going to happen. Because so the U.S. is at least 20 years too late in building electrical power infrastructure. And when Trump comes along and says, well, we're going to build, you know, 10 AP1000 nuclear power plants, Westinghouse, it's their largest model. And initially you think, oh, that's great. We're going to have all this, you know, nuclear power
20 years from now.
Yeah. Like in the year, you know, 2042 or something is when those might be done. But the problem is that's only going to be a drop in the bucket of what we need. Even all of those nuclear power plants will only add, I think, about 100 terawatt hours annually to the total power grid output. And the U.S. power grid output is something like 4,500 terawatt hours annually, something in that range. So it's only going to add 100 to that number. While China is doing over 10,000 terawatt hours annually and growing. So, you know, China produces more than twice the electricity that the United States does. And electricity production is very strongly tied to GDP, to industry, to innovation. So, and by the way, this is not all Trump's fault, obviously. This goes back to Obama. This goes back to Bush, you know, and Biden, of course. This is
it goes back to the Clintons. Yeah. I mean, giving away our uranium production to the Russians. I mean, and completely stopping any kind of mineral production in the United States. So, yeah,
it's crazy.
This precedes all of them, really.
Yep. It's really, this is a way to cut off the blood supply to America's economy. This has been a suicide pact of shutting down energy in order to appease lunatic climate cultists who don't understand a thing about science. They don't understand botany. They don't understand, you know, the role of CO2. That's why they had to fake all their graphs, you know, like the hockey stick graph. They have to fake all the temperature data to try to scare everybody into compliance while they're actually shutting down civilization. And we're paying the price for that big time today.
So these warnings, obviously extreme heat. So now we've all got I think it was even in New York City from Mondami telling people there, you know, just turn your thermostat up to, you know, like 78 degrees during the heat wave, you know, because we can't handle it. And we learned during the blackout of New York City that most of our electric grid in the Northeast was actually run out of Canada. That was a big shock to a lot of people, that when they had the blackout in New York City, I don't even think it originated anywhere near New York City. It came through Canada. We're like, what? Wait a minute. We're getting our electricity through Canada? How does that happen in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world? So I was shocked by that. But how bad is it? I mean, I remember Dennis Quaid sitting down a couple of years ago with Tucker Carlson talking about America's grid and just how fragile it actually is. Like, you've looked at the data. How fragile is it?
Well, Dennis Quaid was a narrator for a film that was talking about the vulnerability of our power grid to EMP weapons and solar flares. I believe that's the one you're referring to there.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I also interviewed the filmmaker for that documentary, which was important. But that's a completely separate problem from what you and I have been talking about so far. So that's a problem of the vulnerability of the grid to either domestic terrorism or sabotage or, like I said, EMP weapons. The bigger problem is that we just don't have the capacity and that the build out of the capacity will take decades to achieve. And of course, along the way, there's been suppression of promising energy technologies that could have played a role in all of this. Like I've interviewed experts on low energy nuclear reactions, LENR, which is still experimental, but it's something that's being researched. It's been replicated. There are models, you know, there are pilot programs that show it working. Basically, it heats water very slowly, much more slowly than a fission nuclear power plant, but it can be done at a small scale. So that's been suppressed. Small modular reactors, SMRs, which is small fission reactors, that's been suppressed over all these years. You know, you could have a small reactor in a neighborhood that you only have to swap out the fuel once every 8 years or so. That could power, you know, like multiple city blocks or even an entire community and could be relatively safe. Like that technology exists, but the regulatory oversight and all the roadblocks that are put in place. See, I think that our government, and this goes from one administration to the next, they don't want people to be power independent. There's too much freedom that goes with that.
That's what I wanted to get to. Because when you talk about the engineering of it all, like it seems like it's a pretty easy fix, right? You mentioned SMRs, you know, NuScale being one of the companies, right? It's getting hammered right now in the stock market because it's like, oh, they're not profitable yet. No, yeah, they're not profitable. It's maybe for a reason right now, right? They haven't really, I don't know, it just all seems like it's fake, you know? It all seems like it's bullshit. And that's what I want to get to. So they really don't want us to be power independent. And
yeah. Well, let me explain why, or a really practical example of that. So since I started talking about EVs and how you can bypass the Strait of Hormuz by erecting your own solar panels and charging your own car with fuel from the sun, right? Then four of my employees actually bought Teslas. So we're about to film, I think next week, we're going to film charging a Tesla with sunlight only, bypassing the grid. Now, what does that do? Why does the government hate that? Number one, you don't pay highway fuel taxes. Number two, you don't buy electricity with post-tax income. You get electricity from the sun, bypasses the government. It cannot be taxed and it cannot be regulated unless they try to block the sun, which would take a tremendous effort. Of course, they're experimenting with that, but they haven't rolled that out. That would be a massive project and it would be suicidal. But I can fuel a car with energy that I harness for free and I pay no tax on. That's what the government doesn't want you to do. They want to be able to monitor through smart meters how much you're charging your EV so they can limit your range if you don't do what they want, if you're not obedient to the government narratives. Just like, think about CBDCs. It's programmable money. Smart meters and being dependent on the power grid is programmable power. They can limit what you do with it. So that's why we have to bypass that. You know, with money, we bypass it with gold and silver, let's say. Or with energy, we bypass it. We can collect our own solar energy. We can power our own vehicles. We can drive as far as we want, you know?
And if I want to be fully off the grid, and you bring up great points because, you know, if you want to go off the grid, and let's say you get solar panels, which have come down in price dramatically.
Oh, yeah. So they're cheap.
Very, very cheap now to get solar panels. But then you still have to go through your local electric company and you still have to pay your local electric company to come out and like approve it, depending on your community in a lot of ways. And even to access the grid, you still have to pay them, even if you're not using any of their electricity, you have to still pay them like a subscription fee.
right.
You know, which is hilarious to me, right? So whether it's Core Energy or one of these other companies, like you still have to pay them that like activation fee to just be attached to their grid, even though you're not using any of it. And what's even crazier, yeah. Mike, which is just, is that you might be producing, I don't know, let's say you're producing 80, 100, just round numbers, 100 kilowatt hours, whatever. You're producing that with your solar panels. And any excess that you can't store in your own batteries or whatever, your own cars that you don't use, you're sending back to the grid. But when you send it back to the grid, they're not paying you a one for one like what they would charge you to use their right. energy. They're going to pay you like, I don't know, 1/10 of the cost. It's amazing to me. Like that they'll charge you the full price. But if you want to take the energy from my production and send it back to you that you can use, you're going to just pay me like a fraction
of
the cost.
Those rates depend on the grid operator. But Clayton, yeah. and by the way, I used to mock EVs and I used to mock solar. And you can tell that I've changed my tune on that because of the changing world situation. But today, I do not recommend grid tie systems at all. I recommend a completely parallel, disconnected, off-grid system. And the reason,
okay.
right. So number one, when the grid goes down, you want to be able to use your system. And grid tie systems always go down when the grid goes down. So they're useless in that scenario. Secondly, I don't want to have permission from the power company or even the county or the city, but this varies depending on where you live. But I don't want to have permission to connect to their grid. I don't want to have an inspector come out and tell me I didn't put the right number of screws into the plywood or whatever. So personally, you know, I live in Central Texas. It's a rural place. We don't have a lot of regulations, but, and you know, to each person, you got to do what's right for your situation, but I don't ask for permission to build an off-grid solar system. I just learn the way to do it safely and professionally, and I get it done. And as a result, also, battery storage technology has just now become mature enough to make this economically feasible. So before now, and by the way, the battery tech is coming out of mostly China.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing a surge of new sodium ion battery chemistry out of companies like CATL, C-A-T-L, that will be a game changer. But even sodium iron phosphate or LFP batteries are available now. I buy the rack mount batteries. I've actually got some just sitting here in the studio because I'm about to film on this. But they're rack mount, like 51 volt batteries, and you tie them all into an inverter. I buy US made inverters, you know, like Sol Arc, a veteran company in Texas, for example. But I'll buy the batteries from Chinese battery makers because those are the best batteries. Then you can actually afford to have an off-grid system that can charge your cars. It can run air conditioning. You can buy air conditioning units and you can cool your home when the grid is down. So that's a level of freedom that I think the establishment doesn't want you to have access to. And then they also can't monitor you. Then their smart meters don't know what you're using, what you're doing. You know, they have no control and they have no way to limit you.
I love that. I'm going to do that. So, you know, our whole studio, our house is fully self-sufficient on solar, but of course we're connected to the grid as well. So, you know, you just feel like, well, get a big bad storm, something like that. You're going to want to have that grid backup, you know, in case.
Right.
You know.
But you could have a transfer switch, though.
Right.
You could just have a big transfer. So I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, please. You know way more about this than I do. You could have a
completely off-grid system.
Yeah.
And then you could also have your grid. And there's a giant transfer switch that an electrician can install. And it has three positions. It has the lever at the top, which is like you're on the grid. And then in the center, it's disconnected from everything because that's a safety issue. And then in the lower position, you're on your solar grid, your local solar battery grid. So you can totally do that. You could convert your existing system into this by adding batteries to it. And then you could switch it anytime you want it.
We'll have to talk offline about this.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But I'm going to pick your brain more deeply on this question because we've got the big batteries. We've got the whole thing. So because I don't want to be tied to this. And I've been trying to prepare my family. You know, this is what I love about what you talk about and teach is that I want to be prepared. So we've been, you know, making sure that we have food stores. You put out a tweet the other day. Well, actually, before I get to that, you mentioned about mocking EVs. And I think this is so important because for whatever reason, conservatives, and I don't know, it doesn't really matter what political bent you are, but I remember just a few years ago, a lot of conservatives were like very much like anti-EV, and there was very, sort of mocking it, like, give me my gas guzzling car, whatever it is, you know, but it was a very sort of mocking tone about it. And I wonder why. Like, why do you think that was? Do you think that was part of maybe some kind of programming, some sort of, because I think it was like, I don't know, I question everything now, you know, everything's just one big lie. So when I saw, like, when I hear, like, conservatives have their big trucks, they're like, no way, you'd never catch me with an EV. You're like, is this part of some programming?
Well, first of all, the climate cultism was very easy to mock because it was so retarded.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then it was pretty much the climate alarmists who were pushing EVs.
True, true. So it was the people that were gluing their hands to the roadways and getting in the way of people going to work, and people like, get these freaking nuts out of here. They're all, they just want their EVs and solar panels. Yeah, I get it.
So,
but it seems it seems like it was fabricated, doesn't it? Now when you think
engineered.
About it.
Yeah, totally. It was engineered to cripple our energy infrastructure and to set human civilization back a few decades, or at least Western civilization. That's why it was engineered, I'm convinced. And that's why China is ahead, again, in energy infrastructure, which has huge ramifications in the AI race to superintelligence. You know, for example, I live in Texas, and Texas has its own power grid. Did you know that the number of requested interconnections to the Texas grid right now, the number requested in terms of gigawatts, is more than twice the total production of the entire state right now? And that's requested by the year, I think, 2032. So in other words, Texas would have to triple its power grid output by 2032. That is not going to happen.
Wow.
Not going to happen. So I don't trust the power grid. Even though we have our own power grid in Texas, even though Texas is energy abundant, and I'm glad for that. And by the way, I am going to buy an EV, but I'm also going to have my diesel truck. I'm going to have a 500-gallon tank of diesel, and I'm going to have a solar array, so I have a choice. And I think that's the smartest play. Sometimes I need the diesel, and I have storage, but that diesel depends on a refinery that's probably on freaking fire right now in Saudi Arabia or Russia or somewhere else, right?
So you got to have options. You got to be prepared.
You can't have options.
You can't be dogmatic about it and go kind of all in on what, you know, it's like, I get it. You know, I have solar. I'm fully all in on that. I want to be able to protect my family. We get a lot of sunshine here. It's the sunniest state in America is the state of Colorado. People think it's Florida because of the marketing. It's not. So we get more sunshine year round. So I want to use that. Why shouldn't I use that? I don't want to have to pay for electricity and power outages. Grid goes out, substations go out. I want to be able to protect my family. I have kids. I want to be able to, you know, feed them and take care of them. So I want to be prepared. You also want to have those backup generators, those other things, food stores in place and other things, and be able to prep and be prepared. How fragile is the grid in terms of you mentioned the power production itself, just the people attaching themselves to the grid, whether it's in Texas or these other 17 locations that the Department of Energy is warning about?
Well, the grid is so fragile that I think it was 2021 when we had the great freeze in Texas.
Yeah.
And I experienced rolling blackouts, and we had 8 minutes of power every 30 minutes for days like that. And we were told in the aftermath of it that had they not started the rolling blackouts, there would have been such permanent damage to the equipment on the grid that the entire state of Texas would have had no power for 6 months. And we were that close to that happening. Imagine. I mean, what would that do to your economy? Your economy goes to zero, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Without a power grid, or almost zero. Now, at the same time, the PJM interconnection, which is the eastern 13 states that's served by PJM, I mean, you mentioned the Southwest earlier, but the eastern is what's known to be even more vulnerable. They already announced, you can read it on their website, that come June of 2027, they can't guarantee the normal level of service buffer that they require to meet high demand days. So in other words, on high demand days, you know, very hot days or very cold days, they're going to have rolling blackouts. So if you live in any of those 13 states, which I think is, it's like 65 million Americans roughly that live in those 13 states, if you're not prepared for rolling blackouts, you're not ready for what's coming, because the data centers are going to get the priority. I mean, think about it. You know, the technocracy is going to keep Skynet alive, even if they have to shut off your air conditioning.
Yeah, I mean, this is why Elon Musk just personally invested in a diesel backup generator company for AI data centers in his own personal. It was $1 billion out of his personal account to buy that company. I forget the name of the company off the top of my head, but
And diesel. Diesel generators are a very bad backup option for data centers, because you have to constantly change the engine oil and the oil filters and belts and other things like that in the diesel engines, fuel filters, for example. So that tells you the desperation, Clayton, the desperation. They can't find gas turbines. You know why they can't find gas turbines that are available? Because we sanction Russia.
I was going to say, because they're made in Russia. Exactly.
Yeah, because they're made in Russia. Right. How do you think Gazprom was pushing gas through Nord Stream? You know, how do you think Russia is generating so much electricity? They are experts in gas turbines. So, of course, what do we do in the West? We blow up the Nord Stream pipelines, and then we sanction the gas turbine exports so that nobody in the West can have them. And then all the tech gurus are trying to build data centers. They don't have enough power. So they're trying to buy gas turbines, and the wait time then stretches out to 8 or 9 years on the larger turbines. Jeez. That's where we are now.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's no foresight. There's been no planning in the West for power. None whatsoever.
I mean, forget EMP attacks. And I know, you know, Dennis Quaid has talked about just the fragility of the network in and of itself, even without EMP attacks. Like, just forget that for a second. Some sort of a high atmospheric EMP that would melt everything, and we'd be screwed. We'd be going back to the Stone Ages, really. And maybe we need that, to be honest. But forget that. The fragility is there, and there's been no moves. There's been some moves, I think, across Texas to try to do some shoring up of the power supply and making sure that there is some new infrastructure in place. But it's nowhere near enough. I think at the heart of it, government's not going to come save you. You've got to protect yourself. You've got to do what Mike's talking about here. At a bare minimum, what would you say for people to do, Mike, to prepare?
Well, the energy that's accessible to people right now is solar. If you want to be off grid, that's the only, because you know you can't build a nuclear power plant in your backyard. So solar is the way to go. And I've actually been trying to do solar systems for a long time. My company's warehouse is solar, but that's a grid tie system. But it wasn't until just the last 6 months that the battery technology became mature enough and economical enough to justify buying a large amount of these batteries. And that battery tech is going to get better and better and better. Even, you know, Korean companies, Samsung is going to roll out a new battery facility next year, they say, that has much higher energy density in, you know, kilowatt hours per kilogram of or watt hours per kilogram is usually in those batteries, faster charge cycles, but much more importantly, longer life of charge discharge cycles. So right now, you know, the standard batteries today, lithium batteries might handle like 3,000 charge discharge cycles. The better LFP batteries can handle now 8,000 or even 10,000 charge discharge cycles. And the technology that's coming next, sodium ion batteries, which are incredibly safe, it's very hard for those to catch on fire. And they're heavy and bulky, but they're great for fixed installations like a ranch or a farm or power grid power shifting off of solar and wind. Those have, they're much lower cost, very good energy density, and they can cycle 20,000 times. So now you're talking about batteries that you buy once in your life.
Wow.
And you don't have to keep rebuying them. So it's a game changer. And again, China is the main innovator in this space. And I keep wondering, what happened in America? Why aren't we? We have chemists, you know? Why can't we create the world's most awesome batteries? You know? Or the best, you know, power grid expansion. Why are we always behind the curve on this stuff? And it's just like our leaders just have no planning. And it's not, I'm not talking about just Trump. It's the whole, it's, yeah, it goes back to Clinton and worse. It's just, we have no foresight in this country, no long-term plan. Every politician only cares about the next election. Every corporation only cares about the profits for the next quarter. Nobody gives a crap about the next generation in this country, and that's why we're in this situation.
May even go back to Tesla, Nikola Tesla, you know, and the free etheric energy that we probably all have access to right now if we just if they just allowed us to use that energy. You know, I mean, don't get me started. That's a whole other rabbit hole we can go down.
Right, or totally.
Or the individuals who are mysteriously disappeared for having, you know, whether it's using water power or things like that. You know, yeah, humidity, power, all of those things. Those people seem to mysteriously disappear, or they're in prison for the rest of their life. So I don't know. Don't get me started on that. But yeah, I mean, in the United States, we've got Tesla Powerwall 3s, right? Those are LFP technology. So the first two Powerwalls that Tesla rolled out were the old lithium ion. And now the new Tesla Powerwall 3s are that LFP technology. So that's, what did you say, 10, 15,000 discharges over the course of their life?
Yeah, depending on the battery, they can handle in some of them 8 to 10,000 for LFP is pretty common now. But you know, there's something else, Clayton. I hope you don't mind me bringing this in.
Please.
But lithium iron phosphate, right? So the third part of that is the phosphate. Now, phosphate, you have to use very high purity phosphate for these batteries. Phosphate is extracted out of raw phosphate ores using what acid? Sulfuric acid. Sulfuric acid is how you extract phosphate to put into phosphate, you know, lithium iron phosphate batteries. Sulfuric acid, a large portion of the world's supply comes out of the Persian Gulf because it's made from the sulfur that's extracted from the sour crude oil, which means it's high sulfur. So you take the sulfur out of the oil when you're processing it, when the strait is open, and then you make sulfuric acid to pull the phosphorus or the phosphates out of you know, raw phosphorus rock ore. So that whole pipeline is now compromised because of the war. I mean, it's crazy, Clayton. It's like everywhere you turn, we are getting screwed in some supply chain that's necessary.
I mean, even Rockefeller knew about that, like the excess sulfur. Like, what can I do with all this excess sulfur? Like, I'm going to use it, you know, in my oil at Standard Oil. Like, there's all this residue. Like, let's use this and let's actually put this to good use. And now we've cut ourselves off from it.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
I mean, it's wild. It's like lithium is a very small component of lithium iron phosphate batteries, actually. Lithium is a very tiny percentage. So it's not the lithium mining. Everybody's worried about the lithium mining. Where's the lithium coming from?
Yeah.
I'm like, where's the sulfuric acid going to come from?
And where's the nickel? Where's the nickel going to come from?
And the helium and the aluminum smelting, right?
Yeah.
If anything, Clayton, we've all received this important education in the last 5 months about where stuff comes from. You know, what elements are you, what commodities, where it all comes from. And so much of it sources back to the Middle East, or at least something that it depends on comes out of the Middle East. I mean, you know, I have a food science lab that uses helium, and my helium supplier declared force majeure. Fortunately, I knew this was coming, so I bought a year's supply of helium in early March. So we're actually fine. But the other labs, like the university labs, are screwed. I would imagine if I call the University of Texas Austin mass spec lab, like, where are you getting your helium? You know, they probably say, we're not getting helium, or, you know, we're having to scrounge for it. So all these labs across the country and the MRIs for medical imaging, they all run on helium. You have to have it. You don't have it, you don't have medical imaging. You know, the MRIs are all going to be shut down soon if we don't reopen the strait.
That's insane. No, you're right. There's an education for a lot of people. And then people are like, wait, doesn't America have all these minerals? Well, they do. We're sitting on a lot of them. But of course, we don't mine for almost anything. So uranium, anything. We send it to Russia to be refined. Whatever we do pull out, zero uranium mines in this country. So it's insane. I'm sorry, zero active. We have plenty of them. We have plenty of resources in North America. But of course, presidents and past members of Congress have basically all shut it down. So, well, this has been eye-opening, and I hope that what people take away from this conversation is, you know, be prepared. You know, get some sort of a solar array on your house that you can power your home, or at least your vital items in your house, whether it's a refrigerator, air conditioning unit, things like that, baby food maker, things like that to keep your food. My wife had, when we had our first baby, she had like all this extra breast milk that she, you know, pumping, you know, that she had, and we had it in our freezer and we had a big power outage and lost all of it.
So oh, this, man.
You know, and that was in the mountains in, you know, Pennsylvania, and this happens. So people need to be prepared for these things. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when this is going to happen. So,
well,
Mike, thank you. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I used to live in South America, and it was a common knowledge that the power grid would fail there in where I was, rural Ecuador. So everybody was just used to it, you know, lived more of a low-tech lifestyle there, and it was fine. But it never got crazy hot or crazy cold, right? You could survive without power. We are going to have to get used to that in North America. We're devolving into more of a third world type of country that focuses on agricultural exports, and we don't have a power grid that's reliable. That's where things are going in the U.S. And it's not going to be turned around anytime soon. So yeah, just like you said, Clayton, get prepared, decentralize, disconnect from the on-grid systems wherever you can for your food, your medicine, your money, your knowledge, your information. Even your AI compute, you should have your own local AI infrastructure, and you should download AI models and run them locally so they can't be taken away from you. They can't be banned by the White House, for example. And all that requires energy. So energy is actually going to be the future wealth. Energy, you can freeze water and make ice. You can run pumps and do hydroponics and grow food. You can run inference with a local GPU, and you can get answers to any question that you can ask in an AI system. Power can cool your home, can charge a car eventually. And I interviewed a company, Clayton, that makes electric skid steers. So on a ranch, you know, with a bucket, a skid steer, it's all electric. So I could get ranch work done even if the diesel fuel is gone. See, so energy is actually your freedom in all those areas and much more. So become as energy independent as you can.
Hallelujah. And you can follow Mike. Naturalnews.com is a great place to do it. Great sort of central hub website to read everything that Mike's been writing and publishing. Also follow him on X as well as the Health Ranger on X. Always love to tap in your vast stores of knowledge on all of these subjects. Mike, great to see you as always. Thank you so much.
You too, Clayton. Thanks for the invite. Take care.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for watching Redacted. We'd love for you to subscribe to the channel. It's totally free if you want to follow us or subscribe. And if we brought you any value at all, please consider sharing this video with a friend or a loved one on social media. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.
If you'd like to help support us, check out all of the affiliate deals I've put together for you at rangerdeals.com. And if you go there, you'll see I have selected, I've done due diligence on all of these affiliates. There's really not that many, but we have partners like Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, Ness's Organic CBDA Hemp Extract, Above Phone Models that are de-Googled phones, Red Life, here's the peptide company, Limitless, you know, Petmectin, and so much more, including the Satellite Phone Store, VP.net. And for almost all of these, you can use discount code RANGER here, or sometimes it's something else like Brighteon 50, but normally the discount code is RANGER, which will save you something on these deals. Now, we do earn a little bit off of these affiliate deals, but it's no additional cost to you, and it helps support our platform and our work for humanity, including our AI projects that offer free open source knowledge in multiple languages. You can check those out at brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai. So thank you for supporting us. Check out rangerdeals.com anytime you want to save money on really high-end products and solutions that I personally endorse. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thanks for watching.